The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
As true followers of Jesus Christ, we are instructed to shine as lights in the world. Now, with that statement in mind, would you go with me to Philippians chapter 2, Philippians 2 and verse 15. Philippians 2 and verse 15, and we read, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Jesus Christ also told us, you are the light of the world. And so we understand as true followers of Jesus Christ that we are to shine as lights in this world. And it certainly is a crooked and perverse nation and world in which we live. However, in verse 14, we also see there is first a warning. Something very special is required of each one of us so that we can become these lights shining in the world. So let's continue on here. Let's back up one verse, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and complainings. And now verse 15, it would be so that you see it? Do you understand it? Verse 14, it says, do all things without murmurings and complainings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the Son of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a perverse nation, and among whom you shine as lights in the world. And so the warning is very clear. It is to do all things without murmuring and disputings. Do we desire to go through life murmuring and disputing, or would we rather desire to go through life as a shining light in the world? Because when you put these two verses together, it seems to me that it's an either or. We don't do the one so that we can do the other. They go hand in hand. So as we go through this sermon today, let each one of us take this warning to heart on an individual basis, because I am sure that every one of us want, desire to be part of God's light to this world. Because of the time of the year in which we find ourselves, I think this is a real good point to make here, and that is one of the major reasons why ancient Israel did not go into the promised land was because of their sins of murmuring and disputing. Their murmuring frequently can be found in many, many places in the Bible throughout their wanderings, throughout all their wilderness journeys, through their whole thing. They murmured, they were in disputes, and all of these things. And as a result of that, we see in Scripture that many were destroyed because of their murmurings. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. We begin there. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And so it's very clear. We understand what he's talking about. We see the time setting and all of it. Now drop down to verse 5. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. In other words, don't be like them. They were written down so that we would learn that we won't do the same things that they did. Verse 10, neither murmur you. They were. The Israelites were. They did. They murmured, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, or therefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. There is a warning here. Take the heed. This is what Paul is saying. Take the heed. So many of these people, they murmured and they didn't make it into the promised land. They were destroyed. And then he says, and they're written down for us so that we would learn, so that we will not be murmurers. And then he says, take heed that we don't fall also. That's what he's saying. There is an obvious danger in murmuring. This word is defined as to complain in low mumbling tones, to grumble. It would be like, I don't like this, or this is not what I wanted, or this is not fair, or, and it goes on and on and on. And I think we can come up with a whole bunch. If we went around the room, we could all come up with some. But you know, the thing is, in describing those who would be apostate, or to use another term, would be traitors to God's way of life, murmurers were included in the description. Now, I find that very interesting. Those who would be traitors to God's way of life, there is a list. And murmurers are listed among them. Let's go to Jude, one chapter in Jude. Jude, verse 3, we begin. Jude, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained in this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, lawlessness, going away from God, going away from God's way of life, wanted to take people that way, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Drop down to verse 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. Those three terms, all three of those, murmurers, complainers, and walking after their own lust, are all saying the same thing. It's just three different ways to describe, to get the point across. And their mouth speak great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Go down to verse 19. You can read all of these verses in between because it all adds to it, but I'm just picking out certain phrases that I'm looking for. Verse 19, these be they that separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Are we murmurers? Now, this is a sobering thing to think about. This is a very serious thing. But other than this, without a question, God expects true believers to shine as lights in this darkened world. Murmurers are not going to be part of that. So how can we do this if we are seen as complainers? How can we really truly shine as lights in the world if others see us as being complainers? Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, the Israelites were complaining about not having specific foods to eat. Now, here's the point. Here's the point. They're complaining because they don't have specific foods that they didn't have that they wanted. And here's the point. God had delivered them miraculously. He opened the Red Sea. They walked over on dry ground. But before all of that happened, it goes way back to the beginning of the Passover in the days of unleavened bread, when the death of the firstborn, all of those who painted the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and on the sidepost, and at a later time I want to make some more comments about that particular. But anyway, they did all of that and they were delivered. And then they walked out. They crossed the Red Sea. And here they are. And they're griping and complaining. They're murmuring. Even though, as I said, God had provided them and delivered them miraculously, and God had provided a constant supply of the bread from heaven, manna. But Israel was not satisfied. And they murmured, and they complained. Let's go to Numbers chapter 11. Read a couple of verses here. Verse 4. Numbers 11 and verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, again. Did you get that? Again. They had done it before. They were also murmurers and complainers. It's not the mixed multitude's fault. They were all doing it, and they did it here, and then Israel started crying again. And they said, who should give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried up. Really? Our soul is dried away. Really? Were they really? Do you think that the manna that God was giving them every day, and then on Friday the preparation was giving them twice as much so that they wouldn't work on the Sabbath day, a miracle every week for 40 years to show them who's in charge, to show them what God's plan is, and all of these miraculous things. Do you think that it wasn't nutritious and all of those things to take care of their lives for 40 years? I think God had it all there. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all except whatever this stuff is, this manna, before our eyes. Oh, woe is me. Brethren, without a doubt, most of us probably do not think of ourselves as murmurers or complainers. And for many people, our murmuring or complaining can be quite subtle. That maybe we don't recognize it. But do you think others do? Brethren, without a doubt, periodically, we need to examine ourselves and we need to use the standard of the Word of God as we do so. And one way to be sure that we are not guilty of murmuring or complaining is to put other positive spiritual qualities in place in our lives. And this really is the point of the sermon. And that point of the sermon is that we avoid any and all thoughts or behaviors or feelings that we are dissatisfied with God's working in our lives. We replace the murmuring and the complaining with more of God's divine nature. That's the key. Otherwise, we're going to be like ancient Israel. And we're going to find ourselves there. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. We'll read this one verse. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, we need to notice this. We need to notice that giving thanks in everything is the will of God. I didn't put that in there. So yes, brethren, this is the will of God for you, and it is the will of God for me. It's the will of God for all of us. That in all things, but I don't have enough of this, and I don't have enough of that, and I don't have enough of this, and I don't have this other thing. In all things, in everything, give thanks. The Apostle Paul states, and we certainly believe him, that he had learned this important lesson by the time he wrote his epistle to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, let's go back there. Philippians 4, this time in verse 11. Philippians 4 and verse 11. Not that I speak of respect of want. In other words, not that I respect in effect of the lack of anything. For I have learned and whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to abase and I know how to be prosperous. He goes on and says. Do you understand that anything other than that could be murmuring and complaining? When a person is murmuring, it is a clear indication of dissatisfaction. Whether it's real or imagined is not the point. There is no doubt in my mind, and I think I tried to make this clear, I just didn't say it in this way, I'm making this statement now. In ancient Israel, they were dissatisfied with the way God was caring for them. Now, you have to look at it and ask the question, was God really caring for them, yes or no? Absolutely. Did he leave them in a lurch? Did he leave them unprotected? Did he leave them in a way where they were going to starve to death? Did he leave them with not all that they needed? No. He had given them everything they needed. And what was their attitude? Oh, it was better back in slavery. Excuse me, it's never better back in slavery. It's never better back in darkness. So when a person is murmuring, there is this real clear indication that there is dissatisfaction. However, as true believers, there is so much for us to be thankful for. That if you get into the place, if we get into the place that we start thinking, well, woe is me, I don't have this, and I need this, and I don't have this. Let me give each one of us, myself included, some things to think about, to bring up into the forefront of our mind. And if you have a problem, say, well, I can't remember it at that time. Write them down on a card. Put it on your refrigerator. Make a magnet out of it and put it on the refrigerator so that we won't gripe and complain, that we won't murmur against God. Let me just give you a few of things here. One is, we have salvation in Jesus Christ, which includes every spiritual blessing. Now, that one statement is probably enough. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll give you the verse that actually tells us this. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ or through Jesus Christ. Do you think he's taking care of our salvation? I think he's taking care of our salvation. And like I said, that's enough. We don't need other points, but I'm going to give you some more. I'm going to give us some more just so that we will understand. The second point to be thankful for is the assurance that our Heavenly Father understands and the assurance that our Heavenly Father will provide our needs. He understands and He will provide them. Matthew 6. And if you're thinking, you already know where we're going. Matthew 6, verse 31. Matthew 6, verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? For wherewithal shall we be clothed? Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Means just people out there. Everybody looks for those things, and everyone desires of those things. For your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Having the knowledge that we have in them is one thing, but us having them is something else. Continue to read. Continue to read. Verse 33. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Awesome. We have the assurance that our Heavenly Father understands our needs, and we have the assurance that our Heavenly Father will provide our needs, just like He did ancient Israel. But they were dissatisfied. They wanted God to take care of them in a different way. That's murmuring and complaining. I have a third one, and that is the awesome help that we receive from God. Philippians 2 and verse 13. Philippians 2 and verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You don't think God is working in our lives? God the Father is so involved in us that He sent Jesus Christ, the second part of the Godhead, to come down here to live this way of life, to die for us, to be crucified, to be resurrected, to now sit at the right hand of the Father, and then He sends the Holy Spirit, and as a result of that, Jesus Christ lives in us. And we think God isn't helping us? So again, brethren, without a doubt, as true believers, we should be known as being filled with thanksgiving, not murmuring. Without a doubt, we should be a people that others would know that we're a people that are filled with thanksgiving, not murmuring. I'm going to go to the book of Colossians, and we're going to see four or five different points from verses that he has said, things that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians. And I have them in, I think it's either four or five points. Number one is, we should thank God for our inheritance. Again, this one is enough. But I'm going to look at four or five of these. Colossians 1 and verse 12. Colossians 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We are partakers of the inheritance of God. This is what Paul is telling the Colossians. This is what Paul is telling us, that Jesus Christ is telling us through this book. Number two, we should abound with thanksgiving. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. Verse 6, as you have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk you in Him, rooted and builded up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. There's no place. There's no time for murmuring if we do just these two. I got three others. Number three, we should be thankful for the peace of God ruling in our hearts. All you got to do is just take a look around yourself and around the world. And you see very quickly, there is no peace in this world. There is no peace around where we are, except we have it. We have it. Colossians 3 and verse 15. Colossians 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. Number four, we should give thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ. See, we have access to the Father, but we also have Jesus Christ. He is here. He's the one that we receive salvation through. And we have that. We have Him. Colossians 3 and verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him or through Him. And number five I have here is we should be vigilant in prayer with thanksgiving. Colossians 4 and verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Now, brethren, I think it's obvious that an attitude of thankfulness will help us to shine as lights in the world, much better than murmuring, grumbling, and complaining will. And I think you believe that also. So how do people see us? How do people see you? What I mean is, Do they see us as murmurers who complain about the economy, complain about the government, complain about this and complain about the other thing? Or do they see us as people, even though we recognize there are evil in this world, there are evil things going on in the world, we also see much good. And the good we see because of what God is doing and his plan of salvation and all of those things. And are we known as being thankful? How do people see us? Do they see us as being complainers, or do they see us as being thankful? Which way do they see you? Which way do they see me? Which way should they see us? It has nothing to do with, yes, but we know that there are these bad things, and of course there are bad things. Of course there are bad things. And there is God the Father, and there is Jesus Christ, and there is the plan of salvation that trumps all of that. It trumps all of that. Another potential for hindering our ability to shine its lights in the world is disputing. What are some dangers in disputing? First of all, just a real simple usable definition, the word disputing would simply mean arguing. Now, what we need to understand, this is not describing the discussions of differences between individuals who seek to find common ground. This is not what this is talking about. But rather, the sort of divisive wrangling that is mentioned in several places in Scripture. So let's go and let's see if two or three of these places. Let's go to 1 Timothy. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, begin in verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud. This person who doesn't speak the words of God, does not speak the doctrines, the teachings of Jesus Christ. He is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words, whereof comes envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Now, that's a pretty awful description of somebody. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such turn away. Stay away from people like that. This is what this is saying. I didn't say that. I am saying that. From such withdraw yourself. Turn away. Get away from that kind of practice. And if it means to stay away from people who do this, then stay away from them. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to the prophet, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 9. Titus chapter 3 and verse 9. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Paul warns the church that disputing can devour those who are part of the body of Jesus Christ. Disputings can destroy the church. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 15. Galatians 5, verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed, pay attention, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. The implication is it can. It could actually destroy the body of Jesus Christ. There's one other major point that I want to mention about disputing, and that is disputing can also destroy our ability to convince, and I'm using that in a very broad way, but to convince the world concerning Jesus Christ. I want to go to John chapter 17. These are some of the words on Passover night that Jesus Christ was praying. And from that, I want us to come to that conclusion in seeing how that disputing can destroy our ability to be able to even to talk to people in the world about Jesus Christ. Am I saying go sit on the bus and talk to people? No, but if they ask, tell them. And if there's disputings going on, it's not going to happen. John 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words. He's now talking about us. He's not talking about you and me. That they may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. Again, remember, this is talking about us. He's not describing the disciples that he was there with. He said, neither pray I for these alone. I'm not praying just for these. You know, these men that you have delivered and you've given to me now. I'm also praying for those who are going to come along as a result of their words. That's us. That they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. And I'm not worried if you put your name there. Because this is talking to us. This is talking to the church of God today. That they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me. That they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. I make the point again. Disputings can cause and destroy our ability to convince the world concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I know there are people who sit down and they start and they get into an argument and they argue. You've just destroyed any possibility, any way, this is what he's saying, of convincing them that we actually know Jesus Christ. There will probably always be differences among brethren. I mean, after all, we come into the church with different backgrounds and different perspectives. And it will take a while for us to all develop the mind of Christ and the oneness of mind. Philippians 2 and verse 2. Philippians 2, verse 2. Fulfill you my joy that you may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, being of one mind. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. It may take a while. And until that happens, we can still shine as lights in the world in the way we handle our differences. Having differences is not the point. Having differences is of and by itself not a problem. It's how do we go about them. That's what makes the difference. We're either disputing or we're not. Just having a difference with somebody isn't necessarily disputing. It's how we deal with it. And that can be with someone even in the world. We need to have an attitude of gentleness and patience and humility. 2 Timothy, verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Now, I'm going to tell you, I used to years ago, way back, you know, many years ago in a church, people asked me, I used to be very quick in telling them what I thought about these unlearned, you know, questions and all of this, and I'd give you my opinion. I come more today having not answers to questions more so than I did years ago, whenever I knew more then than I do now, if you understand what I'm saying, because I thought I did. I thought it was a way to do it, you know, and so you go in, you look at all of these prophecies and all of this, so much of it is speculation at best. What we know. What we don't know, we pray about it and ask God to open our minds when He wants to deliver that information to us. That's the way to approach these things. Verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. He's saying this is how we are to be. We are to be this way. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. This is talking to somebody who does not know the truth. That we can have a way there. That we can have an influence even there. Verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. But somebody who's apart from the truth of God, he takes them at his will. Because they have nothing. So we understand that what our attitude needs to be is an attitude of gentleness and patience and humility. Brethren, we also need the qualities of long-suffering and forbearance, and forgiveness. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 12. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Are we the elect of God? If we're part of the elect of God, then we are also part of the holy and the beloved. God calls His elect holy, and He calls us His beloved. Put on, therefore, since you are the elect of God, since you are those that God refers to as holy and beloved, this is what He's saying, put on, therefore, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. That is to be our attitude toward each other, and this is also to be our attitude to those even of the world. And he goes on and he says, and if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. If Jesus Christ forgave, then we obviously are to forgive. And I know somebody could come back and say, yeah, well, that's different. That's because he's God. Excuse me. What are we to be vain about? What do we have to be, you know, haughty about? If Jesus Christ forgave, it's obvious we are to do the same. And we are to forgive one another. And I got to tell parents sometimes, you know, sometimes somebody says, well, how do I, you know, well, my child does X. Now, how do I handle this? First piece of information is forgive it before you correct it. If the attitude is already forgiven, if your attitude is one of you've already forgiven it, the battle is way over. It's way down the line. If you're not forgiving first, how far is that going to go? Not probably far. Forgive it before it's corrected. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. Of course we forgive somebody immediately. And sometimes people come up and they'll say, well, yeah, well, we have to because we're not going to the kingdom if we don't. And I'm going, why would we not? You know, why would we not just forgive them? Look at all of us. Look at everything that we have done. You know, let's pull out the list of all of our sins, and we're going to not forgive somebody else. So in other words, what I'm saying is this: we can truly shine as lights and make a positive impact on the world as Christians as we learn to disagree without being disagreeable. And as we learn how to be different in the way we handle our differences. Now, I know this could come across as being really heavy-handed. This could come across as really hard. It isn't intended to be that way. It's intended to be from the point of view of, well, why would we want to be this other way? When we see it, it should make it so clear that we don't want to be a murmurer and a complainer and a disputer. You know, we don't want to be involved in those activities when we see this just laid out. Now, before any of you may come to the conclusion and thinking that I'm saying that you're a bunch of murmurers and complainers, that's not what I'm saying at all. These are lessons that we're to look at as we examine ourselves. And this is the purpose, that we do not become dissatisfied with anything in the way that God is dealing with it. Remember I said that's really the focus, that's really the purpose of the sermon, and that's really where I'm getting at. And I know we could get hung up on, yeah, but you told me not to do this and not to do that. No, I'm saying let's not get hung up and be discouraged and be dissatisfied with the way God is dealing in our lives. Without a doubt, too much harm has been done in the past by the way we have handled the differences and the tendency to murmur and complain. And without a doubt, our God is good and gracious and takes care of us, giving us not only the bare necessities, but great abundance also. And what I'm asking that God will do is that God will fill our beings with true commitment and gratitude for all that He is and for all that He is doing in our lives. Brethren, I'd like to ask each one of us to take to heart the warning of the Apostle Paul and other scriptures that teach against murmuring and disputing so that we will be truly those who shine its lights in the world. And the Aaronic blessing, speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God has blessed us. We are the blessed of God.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.